Turn with me, please, to Psalm 116 in your Bibles. Psalm 116. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. Please give your attention to the Word of God. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore You, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the course of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Look back for these moments on verses 12 and 13. For the psalmist asks, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. This story could only happen in New York City if it happened at all. A man riding on a subway train offered his seat to an elderly woman who was standing in the aisle. She was so surprised to receive such an offer that she passed out. When she revived, she thanked him for his kind offer and for his courtesy. And he was so surprised at her expression of thanks that he passed out. Well, that's just a story. For Thanksgiving Day is next Thursday. It is a day when we especially remember to thank the Lord for every benefit that He has so abundantly showered upon us. But it is also an opportunity to express our thanks to Him. But instead of looking at Thanksgiving from our viewpoint, I'd like for us to try to look at it from God's viewpoint through the inspired pen of the psalmist as he wrote this 116th psalm. As we read through the psalm, did you notice how many personal pronouns are in this psalm? I or my are found in every verse except 5, 15, and 19. There is no title to the psalm in the NIV, the New King James, the NASB, the one that you have in your pew, has the title Thanksgiving for Deliverance from Death. There is some uncertainty about the author and the circumstances under which this psalm was written. Some think it was written to accompany the sacrifices that as the psalmist paid his vows that he had made to God. Others think it was written by King Hezekiah when God gave him 15 extra years of life. We find this in Isaiah 38:5. But whoever the human author was, God was the divine author. And the psalm provides a means for us to express our thanks to God for all that He has done, all that He is doing, and all that He will do as long as we have life. There are two parts to the psalm. The first is the personal experience of the psalmist, verses 1 through 11. And the second is the payment of his vows, verses 12 through 19. The opening verse of the psalm can only be the expression of a sinner saved by grace. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. The person who is a worshiper of idols can never express those words. He can never love the object of his worship. And the only exception is money. If a person has money as his idol, he can love it. And Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. Idols made by man may inspire fear, but never love. Idols will never respond to the worshiper. Their eyes cannot see. Their ears cannot hear. Their mouths cannot speak. Only the living God can elicit love from His children. Only the living God can hear and respond to the prayers and the praise of those who have received His love. The second verse pictures God as condescending to listen to the prayer of His servant. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. You see, his relationship to God was long term. It was not just for a day or for a week. It was going to be as long for as long as the psalmist lived. Whatever providence God had been pleased to send into his life, trouble, happiness, prosperity, adversity, sorrow, or sickness, the psalmist could pray. It is much easier for us to pray when we have received some specific answer to our prayers. And often we may forget to express the gratitude for the everyday blessings that God has sent. Would you thank God for ears that can hear today, eyes that can see? Every breath that we take is a gift of God. And it's easy for us to forget to express our thanksgiving for all of these blessings. We simply take them for granted. We think we've earned them, that we deserve them, that they'll come regardless of how we respond. And they often do. But we need to recognize that God is the source of all of these blessings. Well, whatever may have been the experience fresh in the mind of the psalmist is described in verse 3. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol, the grave, laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Now, when the psalmist wrote these words, he knew nothing of the promise of Jesus in John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Or the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tent be dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now the psalmist pictured death in terms of darkness, and the process of dying in terms of pain. Those of us who are older may not so much fear death as we do the process of dying. But he was deeply troubled, and in his sorrow he turned to God. Verse 4. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. And as he prays, he is given insight into the character of God. Look at verses 5 through 8. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. All of his needs were met. His soul was delivered from death, his eyes from tears, and his feet from falling. The folly of secular humanism is seen in verse 11. I said in my haste, all men are liars. This does not mean that everybody is a continual liar. Of course, all of us lie at times in our life. But what the word means, I believe, is that the psalmist is saying that all men are unreliable. Only God is fully and totally reliable. His promises are always true. In whatever circumstances we may find ourselves, we can always be sure that God will keep his word. And as the psalmist reflects upon the great goodness of God, so lavishly poured out upon him, he begins to wonder, how can he show that appreciation? What can he do even to begin to try to repay God for all of his marvelous loving kindness? And he asked this question in verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And this is a question that we need to consider as we enter the Thanksgiving season. How can we thank God in a way that pleases him, rather than in ways that make us feel good, that salve our consciences? We can think of a variety of ways to express our thanks to God through our corporate worship, as we're doing today, as we praise and thank Him for who He is and all that He has done. We can thank Him by giving more liberally of our money and talents for the advancement of His kingdom, by sharing our abundance with those who are less fortunate. All of these are legitimate and godly ways and activities as a part of our continual obedience as servants of God. But the psalmist looked at his expression of thanksgiving from a different point of view. The more he meditated upon it, the more he thought of all the wondrous things that God had done, not just for his body, but for his soul. His question was, how could he express his profound gratitude? It seems so insignificant just to say thank you. His cry was, what shall I render to the Lord for all He has done for me? And with insight that could come only from the Spirit of God, he answers his own question. Verse 13, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, from a human viewpoint, these are strange words. Here is a man who expresses thanks to God by taking something more from Him. I will take up the cup of salvation. Our theme this morning is true thanksgiving. And two facts emerge from this passage. First of all, the cup of salvation is God's finest gift. It is His finest gift because it cost Him more than all of His other gifts combined. All of the material things that we enjoy in this life, our health, our family, food, clothing, homes, a church, all of these blessings come from God. These gifts He gives to us, and they cost Him nothing. But what the psalmist calls the cup of salvation cost God His beloved Son and is of infinite value. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16. Have you ever wondered how God must react to people who gladly accept all of the material things of life and enjoy all of those things and reject His finest gift? The gift of His own eternal Son, the Lord Jesus. I heard the story of a father who gave his son every material blessing and comfort of life. But along with those gifts, he faithfully taught his son in the Word of God. He tried to live out his example to emphasize the truths he was teaching. On his 16th birthday, the father gave his son what he considered to be his most valuable material possession, the old family Bible, out of which he had tried to teach his son the way of life and how to live for the glory of God. The boy received the Bible without comment, but it was never opened. And his father, in his deep sorrow, realized that the Bible, which meant so much to him, meant nothing to his son. The boy was glad to receive all of the good gifts that his father had given to him. But his father's finest gift was treated with contempt. What must God think of those who gladly receive all of the daily bread that he provides, but ignore or ridicule him who said, "I am the bread of life"? The cup of salvation, God's redemptive love in Christ, is his finest gift. We will never in this world be able fully to understand the cost of that gift. Part of that cost was the breaking of the communion, eternal communion, between the members of the Godhead. Never been broken until the cross. And at the cross, the Father turned away from the Son because he was bearing your sin and my sin and the sin of all of God's people from the creation to the end of time, a burden that I can't even imagine, causing Jesus to cry, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Are you able at this moment to thank God for his finest gift? The second fact implied by this passage is that thanksgiving for salvation must come first. Unless we are able to thank God for his finest gift, all other expressions of thanksgiving will be in vain and will not be heard by the Father. In fact, we will have no desire to thank him for anything. We will conclude that what we have because of our own skill, our own talent, our own labor. We've earned it, we think. If we are not God worshipers, we will be self worshipers. If we are responsible for who we are and what we've done, why thank God? The psalmist was led to understand that God is the source of every material gift. We think that we've earned our pay. Who gives us the strength to go to work each day? Who opens the door for us to have jobs? Who gives us health that we can walk and do the work that we are doing? Only God. And God is the source, then, not only of material blessings, but of the finest gift that we can ever receive, the cup of salvation. When we receive that gift, we will bow in humble adoration and thanksgiving before Him. Our heart will be filled with gratitude that we have been made able to take hold of that gift, to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The psalmist said, I will take up the cup of salvation. What does it mean in our practical experience to take up the cup of salvation? That means, first of all, to acknowledge the depth and depravity of our sin, and that its result is eternal torment in hell. It means to trust Jesus Christ as our substitute, who paid the penalty for all of our sin by His perfect life, His death on the cross, and His ascension, resurrection and ascension to glory. It means acknowledging that Christ is Lord of every part of your life. It means living a life of obedience. And it includes an unending desire to know more of Him and to grow into His likeness until at death we are presented faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. One of the shortest prayers in the Bible does not even contain the word thanks, but it reached to the very heart of God. It was the prayer of the tax collector. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And when we can utter those words from the depths of our hearts, by grace, we have received the cup of salvation. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, what a blessing to have some understanding of that cup of salvation. To be reminded that without Him, without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. And anything we try to do in our own strength may receive the praise of men, but it will never receive Your praise. And so, our Father, I pray, that if there's anyone here who has never received that cup of salvation, that Your Spirit will work in his or her heart to open their eyes, to see the depth of their sin and the glory of the Savior. Help us to be able to thank You for Him. We pray in His name and for His sake. Amen.